the ministers to come up with a short 4 to 8 minute description or impression or whatever of celebrating the Redeemer, our Redeemer. And this is all going to tie in with communion. So I want you to, if you can and have the ability, to take a few notes. When you hear something that is something to rejoice and to celebrate in communion, write that down, and it will be more valuable to you and will cause more, I don't want to say more effective, but I guess the effective is the word, because it speaks to you and it's something that you can associate with. So take notes if you can, if you have the ability. I'm going to let Pastor Michelle come first. Is that okay? Is that what you said? I'm trying to do what you told me. Okay. So Pastor Michelle's coming, and we're going to talk about our Redeemer.
So, yeah, for the record, I asked. I did not I did not say do it this way. I said, how do you want to do it? And we will listen and obey. We are celebrating tonight what, I guess you could say, what Christmas means. What does it mean to have received a Redeemer? Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And that is to accomplish something in our lives. Amen. So when we celebrate communion, it's a continuation of the birth of Jesus, the life of Jesus, his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. All of those things accomplish something for us. So as Pastor Richard was sharing, when you hear the theme, when something pricks your heart, you see this was something that we received from this work, from the birth of our Redeemer. If you want to make a note, write it down. These are things that we will be laying hold of when we take communion, when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, so that we receive this gift and it's not in vain. Amen? We wouldn't want to leave anything out there. Mine is going to sound maybe a little different than what you might expect when we talk about what we're receiving from our Redeemer, but I got to tell you, it's very fresh. And I woke up with this word in my spirit this morning. And what, I don't know, I have a title for it, but I don't want to give it away yet. But I'm talking about what God has delivered us from through that birth. He's delivered us from self. Deliverance from self. And I don't think we realize what a big deal that is. So I'm going to read several scriptures and then just share a little thought with you. And I trust that it's going to go off in you like it did in me. Starting in Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 13, I have about six or seven scriptures, so I don't know if you're going to want to try to turn to them or not, but Isaiah 14 and verse 13, it's talking about Satan when he was in heaven. It says, but you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of assembly in the remote parts of the north. He began to exalt himself and believe that he could become like and then above God, more important than God. And it started with, what was his first word? I. But then we look in John chapter 3 and verse 30, and this is John talking, and they were asking him questions about the baptism, and he was talking about his ministry was to prepare the way, but the Messiah had come now. And his statement in John chapter 3 and verse 30 says, but he must increase, and I must decrease. John chapter 12, verses 31 and 32. Jesus is talking and he says, you know, the enemy is getting worried. In verse 31, now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And when I, Jesus, am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. So this is the I that must be lifted up. Now, and we know we're talking, it says he spoke here of being lifted up on the cross. When he is lifted up, but I believe that is something that we can do in our everyday lives, lifting him up instead of I, lifting up I am. And in Galatians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the craving for sensual gratification, and the lust of the eyes, the greedy longings of the mind, and the pride of life, the assurance in one's own resources, or the stability of earthly things. We've seen that challenged, haven't we? These do not come from the Father, but they're from the world itself. And the world passes away and disappears, and with it, the forbidden cravings, the passionate desires, the lust of it. But he who does the will of God and carries out his purposes in this life abides and remains forever. So in this verse, we see two I's. We see I, myself, my resources, what I can do. And then we see eyes, what the eyes see, the things that we see that we think we want. But we realize from reading this verse that those things, what I want and the things that I see that I want, that I crave, those things are going to pass away. And if that is where we live, then our world will be passing away and will be no more. Do you see that? If we live by I, what I want, you know, so many times people think this just has to do with lust and sexual perversion and that sort of thing. And that's included in it. But there are things like, I want my way. I want what I want when I want it. I want it now. I. Things that I see, things that my eyes see that I want. Those things will corrupt us. So, James 3:16, this is one of the pivotal verses that I want to talk to you about. James chapter 3 and verse 16, he says, for where there is envying, which is jealousy, and strife, which is selfish ambition, there is confusion and every evil work. Okay, I'm going to read that again. I'm going to shorten it a little. For where there is envying and strife, there is confusion and every evil work. Where there is what eyes see that they want instead of the will of God, where there is my desires lifted up, there is confusion and every evil work. And this is what, if I had to title it, this is what I would say. I is a Trojan horse. Do you know what I'm talking about when I say a Trojan horse? How many of you, if I asked you to come up here and explain the Trojan horse, you could do so fairly well? I'm looking around just to make sure. Just don't ask you to. You say, I could do it. So these guys were trying to take over Troy, I believe it was. And this is from the Odyssey, mythology most likely. They found the city burned. They never found a burnt horse, so we don't know for sure. But the story goes that they could not take over this city, and so they planted themselves inside this huge wooden horse that they said was crafted as a gift of peace. They were giving up. And so they sailed off under, you know, said we're leaving, and they left this horse and they took it into the city and celebrated their victory, only to realize at night that many of them had hidden themselves in this horse. And under cover of darkness, they came out, opened the gates for the rest of the guys who sailed back, and they took over the city. I want, I need, I have to have, I see. Is a Trojan horse because it brings about strife, it brings about envy, it brings about jealousy. And when you open that door, what did James say? Every evil work. Some of us have found ourselves engulfed by an issue, a situation, and we're not even sure how it happened. And many times it can be traced back to somewhere where you let that sense in, that what you wanted was more important than God. We've talked about being in a season of being refined. You know, we're doing most things well. We're doing what we're supposed to do. We're crossing off the list every day. We're praying. We're spending time with God. But God says, I want your heart right. I don't want you to have to guard your words, because if you're having to guard your words, your heart still needs some work, because out of the abundance of your heart is where it comes from. So God wants to deliver us from ourselves, because when we exalt our will above God's, when we want what we want more than what he wants, then we find ourselves in that place where the enemy has found a way in. And see, he will find a loophole. He's not waiting for you to open the door to depression. If he can get you angry and come in with your anger because you didn't get your way, and suddenly you find yourself depressed and you're like, how did this happen? It came in through the eye. It came in through the eyes. So we are celebrating what Christ has delivered us from, because when we build our own world, what happens? Like what happened with the enemy? He was thrown out. He could no longer occupy his created purpose because he exalted himself. And yes, we're under grace, and I'm not telling you that if you're selfish and you have that third piece of chocolate cake that you shouldn't have, that you're not going to go to heaven. But I can tell you that there will probably be some consequences. And if we will learn the way of Jesus, learn how he wants us to live, then we can celebrate being delivered from that Trojan horse and that eye that would hook us in and open the door for many other things that the enemy wants to bring into our lives. So I am thankful that I am being, it's a process, doesn't happen overnight, but I am being delivered from self because of the sacrifice of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Delivered from the I, so we're plugged back into the great I am. That's where we need to be plugged into. Amen. Awesome word, Pastor Michelle. So I like her when Pastor Richard gave us this admonition to share with you all things to celebrate. Just immediately in my spirit, I heard the Lord say, "'Tis the season of the suddenly." It just exploded within the inside of me. And there were some things that God brought out. And so I'm just going to share briefly. You want to look at Luke chapter 2 with me, verses 1 through 6. We all are very familiar with the passage talking about what was going on during the time of Jesus's birth. But it reads, "Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all the people were on their way to register for the census, each to his own city. Now Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the family of David, in order to register along with his wife Mary, who was betrothed to him and was pregnant. But while they were there, the time came for her to give birth." And immediately, you know, we all understand the situation that's going on. It's busy. You know, there's been a decree, and these people, you could just imagine the hustling and the bustling that's going on. And people are busy. They're going about, you know, going to their respective birthplaces to register because the law went out. And immediately I started thinking, Brother Kenneth, about, you know, the day they declared, you know, we're back in stage 5 of COVID, and people are rushing and bustling trying to get last minute gifts. And like Pastor said, the traffic is just bananas. People coming and going, but are they aware of what's taking place right in their midst? Just like right here at this time, in this place, Jesus was coming into the earth. And how many people knew about it? How many people were prepared? But it didn't stop God. It didn't take him by surprise that this was happening. In the midst of all of the hustle and bustle, the plan of redemption was taking place. And right in our midst, with all of the craziness, now I'm not saying these people were obeying the law. We understand it was a law. You know, there are laws that are going forth now. We understand that. But that doesn't hinder us, the believers, to understand what God is doing in our midst. If we're plugged into him, there were a group of people in the earth who were seeking diligently. There were some wise men who had been doing their research and looking, and they're like, hey, there's a star that's over this place. We got to get to this place. They weren't caught unaware, but everyone else was so busy. And the Lord just led me to this song that, man, is one of my favorite Christmas albums of all time. It's Fred Hammond's Christmas album. And it's a song that's appropriately entitled Suddenly. I want to read these verses to you. So verse first, it says, out of all the miracles, none would ever compare to that glorious day. Seeing the need of man, God devised a plan to rescue right away. While the veil stood between earth and heaven, he found a way to bring us closer. Now the world would see just how to be made set free. And then the chorus says, suddenly, from the dark came a light that would never dim. Now the Father's favor would bring goodwill to man. Can't you see his only son, peace and joy? Yes, he is the one, the hope of the earth through the Savior's birth. This is what God was doing. And so I just want to encourage us with all of the distractions and all of, you know, people, some people are disillusioned and disappointed. Some people are not really sure Christmas is not going to be the same way it was last year because I can't go visit so-and-so or I don't have enough money to give this gift. Don't get so caught up in all of the trappings of the season and what man says and what man decrees. And let's not lose sight of what God is wanting to do in our midst right now. I believe in this time and season, there is a suddenly that God is propelling us into, but it has to be us plugged into him. Pastor Michelle said it so amazingly that it has to be about him. If our focus is on him, all of the distractions and things that would try to take us away from him, and that's when we get caught off track and don't walk into the purpose of God. But if we seek like those wise men, we have to make that determination. Are we going to be like those inhabitants that were so caught up in what was going on, unaware of God moving right there in their midst? Or are we going to be those diligently seeking after his plan and purpose? And I believe, church family, in this time that's coming up, this next coming year, we're going to see the suddenlies of God explode like we can't even begin to imagine. But our eyes have to be on him. I would just encourage you, let's keep our eyes on him and know that he is giving us, he's already given us the victory and he's prepared a way. So that's what I just want to encourage you with tonight, is just don't be so caught up in what's going on around that you lose sight of the suddenlies that God is doing right now in our midst. Amen.
Man, so let me switch to my screens here. Pastor Richard, I hope I got this assignment right. Okay, well, we'll see. the thought that I had was determining what was the gift of the Redeemer that he brought to us. And immediately what I thought about, of course, was the gift of the Redeemer is eternal life. And that's definitely the value that he brings to us. But that was not the gift that the Father put on my heart to talk about. It was something that I consider very valuable, but something that we may not yet think of. And so he brought me to a couple of verses. One I'll read for you. John 15:15 says, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. One of the things that was different from the church that I grew up in, one of the reasons why I came here, once I committed my life to God, because I recognized that there was something different about a believer's relationship with God and a Christian's knowledge of who God was. And in the place that I was before, it was important to go to church because that was a responsibility we had to learn about who God was. But I believe somebody just ministered a message that our relationship with God has nothing to do about who God was, but it's more a matter of learning who God is. I believe you ministered that, Brian. And so out of that, I saw this, the importance of this going from being a servant to God, which every one of the disciples called him master. The people that learned from Jesus called him master. But the heart of the Father was to go from being this servant to being something that had more of a personal relationship. So let me remind you of the verse that he shares with us in Ephesians. I'm gonna try to read it because I don't want to mess it up. Where is it? Here we go. Remember this one? Ephesians chapter 1. I'll start in 4. It says, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight." Number one, I want you to look at the word "he chose us" because it means it was intentioned. None of us are accidentally brought into the body of Christ. None of us, the Bible says, we didn't actually pursue him. He pursued us. He intended for you to be with him. I like to point that out because a lot of times people think that, well, I can't go to church because of the imperfections I have. Or I can't be in that place because of the imperfections that are in me. And God said, even though you're like that, I know you were like that, and I still chose you. It was intentioned and it was on purpose. Now, going beyond that, he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. And in love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. So that's the Redeemer. But again, the purpose was to be a son. So a lot of times when people are in church and they want to be involved in working and serving, and we do work and we do serve and things like that, but God never intended to make you a servant. He always intended for you to be a son, much more personal. And because we're sons, we're all a part of one big family. And that was the value that he said, one that I've enjoyed immensely. He said, sometimes we can overlook. And the last scripture I was going to read says, we've all been made to drink of the one spirit, again, pointing to the unity that we have in Christ. Let me point it out to you like this so that you can be aware of what I'm aware of and maybe you can value it a little bit more. Everybody knows that I worked at a inner city camp called Kids Across America. Great camp. We bring kids from all over the inner cities of America, and we work there, but there are a lot of counselors there. And what we do is we work in three different sessions, 1 9-day session and then 2 8-day sessions. And in between, they give us a day off. One day out of that time, we'll get a day off, because pretty much when you're at the camp, you're on call 24 hours a day. And I don't know, only a parent can know what this is. When you're on call 24 hours a day, your mind is like this the entire time. Because anytime something could happen, then you have to go do something. So they recognize, okay, you guys need a day off. And so in us getting this day off 24 hours, the community that was around the camp where we worked, they opened up their homes to us. And they said, you know what, when you guys have a day off, you guys can come and you can spend the night in our homes and just have some time off, which is a wonderful thing. These people didn't know us, but they were going to give of themselves to us just so we could have some rest. And so I'll share two stories. But so anyway, I'm working this first session. I'm getting ready to come to my day off. And, of course, we have these places that we can go, but the only problem is you have to get to those places. And we're out in the country. And Golden, Missouri, which is where we were, it's rural area. This is where my friend Sean, he says if he wants to live somewhere, he wants to live where he doesn't have neighbors. These people don't have neighbors. It's a house, and then there are miles of property, and then you get to the next house. So it's a long way off, so I'm like, man, what am I going to do? And so, of course, I'm out and working, and I'm doing what God's called me to do the way God's called me to do it. And different people God starts drawing me to. So as I'm getting ready to go on this vacation, one of the brothers there said, hey, man, why don't you come with me? I'm going to the Sanders house. I was the Sanders. Little old company that owned a tire company. Rich people, my gosh. And I said, come on out to this ranch-style home. And they had a split-level house. And their bedroom was on top, but they had a whole level down below that had this big glassed-in, what would you call it? It was glass, like a porch, atrium. And it looked out onto their property. I mean, it's beautiful. And they're like, you guys can hang down here. And I mean, it was a wonderful time to get away from the Lord. So I went with this brother, went there, had a great time going to camp. So anyway, my next time that I was going to get to be off, nobody was going with me. So I'm getting closer and closer to this town. I'm like, oh my gosh, what do I want to do? I'm going to be stuck on camp. And the brother that I went with, he looked up and said, hey, brother, your 24 hours is coming. What are you going to do? I said, man, I don't know. I need a ride or whatever. He said, you know what? Why don't you borrow my truck? I was like, what? I understand. This brother just met me at this camp. I'm going to point out another thing. This brother was not my complexion. And I don't want to bring this up because there was no reason. We're not talking about he's like, oh, do you need a dollar? This brother lent his vehicle to me. And I said, why would you do that? He said, what did you mean? Why would I do that? I said, no, you're not, that we're brothers. Why wouldn't I share my possession with you? And I was blown away. And then as God started talking, he says, then that's the benefit of the body. Not only when we give ourselves to Christ do we get salvation and we get eternal life and we get health, safety, soundness, and wholeness, but you are actually brought into a body of believers that should identify one another as brothers. The implications of that relationship is astounding. I mean, the implication is that even if I am in relationship with you and it gets frayed because of our connection, instead of me meeting out to you judgment and anger, I am compelled to give you mercy and grace. Not because you've done stuff for me, because I have to recognize, wait a minute, that's my brother. That's the way it should be. I'm not saying that we experience, I'm saying that's the way it should be. Even though this guy knew me from nothing, he said, because you identify yourself with the Lamb of God, you're my brother. I don't need to know anything else about you. You can share this vehicle. And I did. I took it. And I was blessed. I've been blessed many times over by the relationship that we have in Christ. I remember being on campus. Everybody knows I was on campus. I was almost starving, even though Mama Hendricks cooked well. During that time, I wasn't eating well. But once I was in Christ, and I was hanging out with a lovely brother, Damon and Tara, we're just hanging. And he was going to go spend time with his lovely wife now, girlfriend then. He took me along with him and paid for my meal. I was on his time. He didn't ask me to pay him back. He didn't say, hey, John, I'm about to go do something. Can you just, you know. He said, no, come on, brother, and spend time with us. Man, all the value of a brother. I remember one night I woke up and I was vexed. I'm going to tell you how vexed I was. I opened my eyes and looked out over my bed. I had a plush water bed. So I'm rolling. And I looked over my bed and I was covered in blood. I kid you not. I had to blink. I was like, what's going on? And I was covered with blood. I closed my eyes, did like this, opened them. And then all of a sudden, my organs in my body started expanding. I kid you not. I got on the phone and I called Ken. Woke him up because it was like 2-3 in the morning. And I was like, Ken, I need you to pray. He didn't say, why are you talking to me? Why are you calling me? Don't you know I have this? He immediately went into intercession. and in my organs, I'm in real time, went back to normal. Not because I paid him a bunch of money, but because we were brothers. Last thing I'll share, because again, I think we can overlook the connection. It's an important connection. And I'll go back again to working at this camp. And it's amazing how God did this, because generally camp was hard, but every now and then you'd get a tough group of kids. I'm talking about kids you wanted to lay hands on and not to heal them. it never failed. You would get that tough group. And this particular week was my tough group. And I was getting close to the 24 hours off, which I was looking forward to. And I met a different group of people, and I had an opportunity to minister and stuff. And so, you know, people are looking at me and whatever. And so this group was going, and I, John, come with us. And I'm like, all right, you know, go with you guys. I don't have anywhere else to go. I don't have a vehicle. And nobody had offered this time, and that guy was gone that I had taken his drug. So I went with these guys. It's about, I want to say, five of us. So we head out, and we go into the woods of Arkansas. And we get to this little cabin. I kid you not, it's a cabin. The roof, I don't know what you call it, like an apex, but it went down to the ground. Never seen a roof that touched the ground. I was like, oh, my God. I have picked the wrong group of people to go rest with. And we go into this house, and we're all fitted into this small living room area. And I'm looking, oh, man, this is the Beverly Hillbillies. And these, you know, this little couple was out, and they come and they talk to us. Thank y'all for coming, and we're just so glad you know what you're doing with the kids. And I'm like, yeah. In my mind, I'm like, I need to get out of here. So we're hanging out, and the wife tells us, why don't you take them out back to the cabins? I said, I thought we were already in the cabin. I'm going over time. I'm about to finish. And so he takes us out into the woods, and he has these cabins, and we're sitting on this cabin. I remember looking over, and there's this gigantic spider web right there. And I'm like, God, guess why am I out here? And so we're sitting there, and we start sharing about the different things that have happened at camp. And so as we get finished sharing or whatever, it's late. And we need to sleep, and I'm thinking we're headed back up to the house to go get our pallets and sleep on this dirty floor in this little cabin. So the guy said, I'll tell you what, you have ministered to my heart. I'm touched at how you guys are reaching out to these kids. So what I want you to do is I want you guys to go get your stuff that we put in the house, and you're going to sleep in this cabin. I was like, oh, my God, we've been downgraded. First we're in the house, now we're out in the cabin. So he said, well, first come on in. I want you to come in and look at it. So he opens it up, cuts on the light. The first thing I see is a full, I want to say full size. It was an extra large jacuzzi right by the bed. Jacuzzi. The jacuzzi was custom made. He had put stones around the faucet so it would look like a waterfall was coming into the jacuzzi. I was like, my mouth was on the floor. Fully furnished, couches, television. I was like, what is this? How come y'all not living in here? And what it was, the couple had started a business, and they had built luxury cabins for couples to come and get away. And it was luxury. And he said, I want y'all to stay here. This is normally $1,500 a night. And I want you guys to stay here for free. And he didn't do it because we paid, because we did not. We weren't related except by the blood of Jesus. We were family. And they wanted to honor that connection. And I'm not saying all of y'all got to go build a cabin so that we can share that with one another. But I'm saying that the value that we have in Christ goes far beyond just getting to go to heaven one day. But it's a value that extends to our life down here. Amen.
All right. I am going to come from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It's what God had put on my heart. It says, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." And this is a passage that during this season, what God has been speaking to me on, what's been on my heart, particularly that last part. For those of you who've been at House of the Lord for a long time, you know that Brother Brian has ministered eloquently on, "For a child will be born, a son is given to us." So if you're looking for that, go talk to him. I'm going to cover this last part of it. "His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor." And when I was meditating on this, I like to study the word. The scriptures tell us to study to show ourselves approved, a workman who need not be ashamed. And I was looking at this, and I've always heard it as Wonderful Counselor. And yet when you look at the Hebrew of this, wonderful is a noun, not an adjective. And as I studied this out, I remember an assignment that my son Preston had, one of his first grade assignments. Woohoo! Getting to help little man. And so he had all these words, and he had to separate them between adjective, noun, and verb. It's like, what's the last one? Adjective, noun, and verb. So he had all these words, and so he's like, you know, how do I do that? What is this? How do I do this? And I said, well, a noun is a person, place, or thing. An adjective describes a person, place, or thing, and a verb is what a person, place, or thing does. So he's like, oh. And he starts quickly moving stuff where it is. Well, when I got to this passage, wonderful is a noun. When we think of someone being wonderful, it's because of all the things that they do, how great they are, how gracious. We enjoy spending time with them. Every person that you can think of that is wonderful, adjective, Christ embodies all of that. There is nobody better than Christ. If you've been in church long enough, you've heard the song that says, "Can't nobody do me like Jesus," right? There is nobody more wonderful than Christ. So we see that here. And then we get to Counselor. Counselor, he is the one whom we can always go to get help, to get guidance. He is the one who gives us counsel from, guess what? His word. If you are going through, you know that Scripture promises us that he will provide an answer for us. Scripture promises us that we will walk in whatever it is that we see in his word. He counsels us by his word, for he is the word. You understand? We see that. Wonderful Counselor. Mighty God. This is, this is one where I got checked. And, God reminded me of a song that we sing. And I'm logging in on my phone here. Where it says, the song that we sing, "Mighty is our God, mighty is our King, mighty is our Lord, ruler of everything." And I was like, yes, our God is mighty. That's it. That's where it's at right there. And yet, when we come to testimony time or service, or when we talk about needing prayer, a lot of Christians talk about how mighty the enemy is, or how mighty the devil is. how much do we hear about how mighty God is? This is what Jesus came to represent. He tells us in John that I am an exact representation of the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen him. And yet, we tend to, at times, you know, we've all been there, we promote or elevate problems and diminish God's word. And when we do that, we tend to diminish the fact that our Lord is mighty. Mighty. If you're missing that mightiness and you're not in your life, then maybe it's time that you and I continue to meditate on God's word more and more until his word is much greater than our problems. His word is much greater than circumstances we go through. His word, or he, is much bigger and greater. Who, you've seen it or heard it written in Romans chapter 8, if God is for you, you know, we typically quote back, who can be against you? And our pastor Jim used to say, who or what can be against you? If God is for you, who or what can be against you? That's what I think of when I'm looking at our mighty God. Eternal Father. Again, when you look at and study the scripture out, eternal is actually a noun. Eternal. Eternal. And I was thinking about him being eternal, and y'all forgive me. Well, some of y'all will appreciate this, others, y'all just pray for me. But I was thinking about this new Marvel movie that's eventually going to come out called The Eternals. And whenever I have questions, I wasn't raised reading comic books. So I have people that I go to, John and Damon, because I don't read that stuff. I was like, who are these Eternals? And they tell me a little bit, and so I had to go read about it because it's supposed to come out this past year. But anyway, they have been there since the beginning, and their job is to record and transcribe history. But they've been there since the beginning. And I don't know what happens in this movie, but that's the backdrop of who the Eternals were. And I look at scripture and I see someone who has been there since the beginning. John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, in the first few verses. And then in verse 14 it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This is our gift, Christ. He is the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us. We have this idea that when we think of eternity, we measure it as in we're going to be with God for forever, because we're thinking in increments of seconds, minutes, hours. And yet when we look at his word, that's not how God measures. Because when we look at eternity, we don't measure it by our construct. It's outside of the realm of time. If I can get a picture, and it's hard for us to grasp this because of our finite minds, but let me give you a picture. You all have been with that significant other, and you were having such a great time, whether it was a date or whether it was a family member or whatever the case may be, you didn't just want that time to end because it was such a precious moment. I submit to you that eternity is a forever precious moment or present moment. It's not measured by hours, seconds, years. It's the fact that we are with him. That's it. We are with him. And I can give you different chapters and verses, but in the interest of time, I gotta move on, because that right there, that'll preach. Father. Now, this is interesting. We're talking about a son is given, and yet in the scriptures, it says Father. Well, again, I had to go back to what the Hebrew was talking about. And this particular word talks to someone who is the root or the head of a family. What have we been talking about earlier that Brother John just ministered? Family. Family. He is the head of this family. And that's what it means here. And I had in my calendar, interestingly enough, you know, they got different days that we celebrate for every day. And today is National Roots Day. And I wrote it in my calendar because one of the things that I wanted to begin to do was translate, or not translate, but put together my whole genealogy. Because I want to be able to share with Preston, hey, this is who your peoples are. This is the lineage. This is, you know, I want to share that with him. I've never done it. I've enlisted someone to help me. So this is, I'm reminding that person, you're on notice. Hey, today is National Roots Day. But when we look at this family, this clan, Scripture tells us that he's the firstborn among many brethren. He is the firstborn among many brethren. He is this head that we see here as Father. And then last but not least, Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. I love the, it's cliche, but the saying, bumper sticker, no Jesus, no peace. N-O. No Jesus, no peace. In other words, if you don't have Jesus, then there is no peace. But if you know Jesus, K-N-O-W, then you know peace. He came and he said, look, I don't give you peace as the world gives. What is he talking about? You go into, I think it's Philippians chapter 4, somewhere around there. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, present your requests to God. And he would give you a peace that surpasses all understanding. So that lets me know there is a peace that is based on understanding. He gives us a peace that surpasses all understanding. And not only that, but it says that that peace is to guard our hearts and rule our minds. When we unwrap who or what our gift is this season, I want it to be so ingrained in us who Jesus is. As we look at this passage, when he was with the disciples, he was talking to them and they were like, this is what people are saying about you. Some say that you're Elijah. Others are saying this. And then he looked at them directly. But who do you say that I am? And so that's my challenge to you. That was my challenge for this season is, who am I saying that Jesus is? Do I consider him wonderful? The embodiment of everything wonderful. Do I consider him the counselor? Do I consider him eternal? Do I consider him the head, Father? Do I consider him the Prince of Peace?
Praise God. Romans chapter 5, verse 16. The gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For on the one hand, the judgment arose from one transgression, resulting in condemnation. But on the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgressions, resulting in justification. I'll read that again. But on the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgressions, resulting in justification. And so the good news about the gift is that it came on the heels of a mess. And if every box in your life is not checked, every behavior is not checked, if there is a mess in your life today, if there is a mess of things going on, the good news is that you have hope, because the gift came on the heels of a mess. God did not wait for man to get perfect before he came, before he sent his gift. The gift came in the midst, right in the midst of things being undone, of things being a mess. Now, the Bible tells us we don't continue to sin so that grace can abound. But if the boxes are not completely and perfectly checked, you do have a propitiation on your behalf. And if everything in your life is not what it should be, if there is a mess in your life, know that you have hope through this gift that we have. Know that he did not wait for everything to be perfect, but the gift was offered and was given on the heels of a mess. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For while we were still helpless, when we didn't have it together, that was the time, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ did not die for the righteous. He died for the unrighteous. He did not die for the godly. He died for the ungodly. The contrast is when Adam did his thing, it's interesting because there was nothing in place. It was not preceded by what he did. Everything was good when he did what he did. When Christ did what he did, everything was a mess. While we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, while we were yet his enemies, at that point in time, Christ died for us. Much more then, as we go into communion, having now been justified by his blood, as we take communion tonight, understand this, that justification belongs to you, not based upon your merit, not based upon your works, but based upon Christ dying for the ungodly. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. So we have hope this night through the gift that God has given us. The gift comes on the heel of a mess. Your hope is this, that if you have a mess in your life right now, the gift is optimal for you. The hope is optimal for you. Where there was despair, guess what? There can now be hope and expectation of redemption no matter what you're going through. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Pastor?
I promise I'll be brief. If you'll turn in your red book to page or to song number 312. That's how I grew up. I got the red book right here. It's Melodies of Praise. A hymn book. This, if y'all hadn't seen a hymn book before, this is a hymn book. Page, or on number 312. Let me tell you about some of the gifts that we got at Christmas. It says, hark, the herald angel sings. glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise. Join the triumph of the skies. With the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Christ, by highest heaven adored, Christ, the everlasting Lord. Brother Ken, that word everlasting is Olaf. And it means Olam. That's right, Olam. Olaf was a little snowman in Frozen. Olam. Not only does it mean eternal, and when we think of eternal, we say that it's never going to change. It's ongoing forever and ever and ever. But this word also means it's eternal that-a-way, too. It's eternal past, and it's eternal future. It's not even really a past or future because it's always now. That messes with my mind, but he is the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold, him come, offspring of a virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as man, with men to appear or men to dwell. Jesus, our Emmanuel, God with us. What a gift. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by. He was the ruler, the crown jewel of heaven. He laid it down to come to earth. Mild he lays his glory by, born that men no more may die. We're talking about gifts of our Redeemer. Born to raise the sons of earth. We're the sons of earth. Born to give them second birth. That's our salvation. Come, desire of nations, come. Fix in us thy humble home. Rise, the woman's conquering seed. We know what the conquering seed goes back to Genesis. Bruise in us the serpent's seed, or the serpent's head. Adam's likeness now efface. We were all born in Adam's likeness. Stamp thine image in its place. We were like Adam. Now we're like Jesus. Second Adam from above, reinstate us in thy love. Hark, the herald angel sings, glory to the newborn King. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just take a minute and praise our newborn, or he's not newborn now, but our praise our King. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Father. We thank you for your love, that you loved us so much. We thank you, Father God, that you gave your very best so that we may be your sons, your daughters, your family. You've given us a second birth. You've given us peace. You've given us everlasting life. And we praise you, Father God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're sitting at a table that doesn't have communion, you can, or the elements provided, you can move, join with someone. We're going to celebrate the gifts that we've heard about, our family, our brothers, our redemption, our salvation, all that God has provided for. You can go ahead and take the bread. I'm not sitting at a table here. Let me get one of these. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. The Bible says that Jesus, in the Last Supper, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And it was broken for us. And it was bruised for our transgression and our iniquities. And for our healing, he says, by his stripes, we have been healed. So we receive, as we receive this little piece of cracker, we celebrate with great joy, all that he came to bring us, all that he came to do. It is so. We say we are the healed of the Lord. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And we remember the price that he said, as oft as you do this, remember him. We remember the gift of Christmas. We remember that it wasn't about the presents under the tree. It was about the presence of God being poured out into our lives. We thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Father, as we take this, we remember the price that you paid to give us your best. And Jesus, we remember the price that you paid, that you gave your life as a gift for us, that we might be whole and well and strong and a son of the Most High God. We celebrate as we take and we remember what you did for us. Hallelujah. Let's take together. And we lift the cup that is the New Testament of his blood. The Old Testament, it was the blood of bulls and goats, but it only was a temporary fix. Now through the blood of Jesus, the Son of God, forever, permanently, we are free. We are children of the Most High God. We are the righteousness of God because of the gift of Christmas, the gift of our Redeemer. Father, we thank you again for the price that you gave, that you paid, that we might receive the gift of your Son. And Jesus, we remember the price that you paid, the awful details of your death. But we celebrate the resurrection of new life and the new life that flows in us because you are in us and we are in you. As we take the cup, we remember what you did for us and we receive the gifts of your eternal life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's take together. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. I want to ask you to do something real quick. We're winding down. Would y'all come down here? Just come, kind of fill in. Stand up. We're celebrating the gifts of our Redeemer. And we're just going to pray for maybe a half a minute or maybe a whole minute, just praying together and celebrating. Then we're going to sing a song. And if we have a Christmas party, this is it. Y'all kind of bunch together. Kind of come on in. Come on in. Hallelujah. Let's just lift our voice in praise to God as we celebrate the gifts. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we praise you, Father, for all that you have given. We praise you, Lord, that you have made us to be sons and daughters of your righteousness, of your peace, of your joy, of your patience, of your goodness, of your loving kindness, all the things that you have provided, all the gifts that you have given us through our Redeemer. We celebrate and rejoice in that. Thank you, Father God. We bless your name. Bless your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to your name, glory to your name, glory to your name. Father, we celebrate you. We celebrate you, Jesus, as our Redeemer, our Lord and King, the Prince of Peace, the everlasting Father God. And I give glory and honor to you. We see you high and lifted up in your glory, filling the temple, filling our hearts, filling the temple of our lives, filling the temple of this place that we are in, Father God, with your presence, with your sweet, sweet spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Lord. Glory to your name. Glory to your name.
I'm just going to be obedient to something that God put in my heart. I heard God say that he is a God of fulfillment. And I know we're approaching the end of the year and, you know, Christmas, and we start unwrapping presents. But I believe that God is getting ready to release something in these last couple of days. I don't necessarily know what it is, but I just feel a very strong sense that we're walking into a breakthrough. Things are falling off, you know, old mentalities, whatever the case may be. I just feel that God is taking us into a new place. And one of the things to be excited about as well as we are entering this place is to know the inheritance that we have been given as believers. 1 Peter 1 verse 3 talks and it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." And I just feel very strongly that whatever it is you think God can't do and X amount of time, know that God is able to do more in a second than you could ever do in a lifetime. So hold on to that as the year ends, as things get a little bit crowded and things become a little busy. Know that the God who you serve is steadfast, immovable, unshakable, and more so than anything, he is faithful to his word, he is faithful to his promises, and what he said he will do.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Does that bring some peace? Does that bring some joy? Does that bring some good things to your mind, to your heart? Well, let's sing this song. Y'all know it. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I call you blessed. I call you all the sons and daughters of the Most High God, that you are the essence of his presence everywhere that you go, and you bring life, you bring joy, you bring peace, you bring the salvation of the Father available through you, that you are the sweet smelling aroma of his presence in every place. and that you are the ambassador, you are his representative, and you are surrounded with his favor. Everywhere you go, the Lord goes before you, and you're surrounded on all sides by his grace and his mercy, his loving kindness and his anointing. And everything you put your hand to is prosperous and successful. And God continues to shower good gifts on you all. You are blessed of the Lord, and whom the Lord is blessed, none can curse. None can put down. You are blessed to be a blessing. Go with God. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. We love you all. We'll see you Sunday morning. Praise God.